Good morning. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you'll turn to Matthew, the sixth chapter, I want to look at a couple verses in Matthew, the sixth chapter, verse 19 and 20 and 21 specifically. I'll give you a minute to turn there. Verse 19, it says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." That's probably a fairly common few passages of Scripture there that you've heard before. And for some reason, that's been on my mind for the past week. And I thought about it a little, and I want to share some of those thoughts with you. I can remember when I was a kid that I was probably, I'm going to say seventh grade. And Josh, my older brother, for y'all that don't know, he's not quite 13 months older than I am. And so he was the eighth grade, or about, maybe sixth and seventh, I don't know. But Josh got for a present one day a purple silk shirt. Now, nowadays, that's not cool. But buddy, back then, that was cool. And Josh has always been very protective of his belongings because he had a little brother. I can remember when we were younger than that, well, we had bunk beds. And every time, you know, Santa Claus came or something like that, or it was Josh's birthday, he would take all of his stuff and he would put it on the top bunk, and he would put the rail up on the top bunk, and it was, I mean, it was a, you know, no trespassing. Don't touch my stuff, you know. And as he got a little bit older and some of, you know, our interests kind of went different ways, you know, I can remember one time he got a big series of books for Christmas. And I told him, I said, you don't have to worry about putting the rail up. You know, I'm not coming for your books, you know. But that purple silk shirt just, I mean, it captivated me. And I just thought, that is probably the coolest shirt I've ever seen in my life. And he would wear it to school. You know, he put some white blue jeans on, you know, back when we wore white blue jeans. And people were just like, "Man, Josh, that is so cool." And it just, I mean, and I just watched what that shirt did for him. And I just thought, how much greater what things it would do for me if I could just wear that shirt. And that was just an absolute no. You know, don't touch my shirt. You can't wear my shirt. And I just thought so much about it. Well, you know, obviously, as any good little brother would do, Tim can probably attest to that, there was a day that Josh wasn't there. And it just got to me. And so I took the silk shirt and I wore the purple silk shirt. And as you might guess, I got a horrible stain on it that would not come out. And it was a great source of contention between Josh and I about that shirt. You know, not just the stain. Of course, the stain was a nuclear explosion. But just the issue of, you've got something that I want, and or I at least want to borrow. And it was just a great source of contention. Now, I say all that to say this. Where is that shirt today? Who knows? I don't remember the day that it left our house. I don't remember in what manner it left our house. I have no idea. Josh probably couldn't tell you where that purple silk shirt is today. Neither one of us know. It was a fleeting, temporary item that caused a great deal of contention between us at that age, and we don't even know where it is today. I can remember I had a not too terribly long ago, I was out in our shop, and I needed an oil rag, and as a lot of us do, you know, old T-shirts and things like that, they end up in a box in your garage or your shop for a rag to wipe up oil or whatever you're dealing with. And I grabbed a shirt, and I was wiping my hands off with it, and I looked at it, and it was one of my favorite T-shirts of all time. And I had forgotten about it, but it just had began to kind of fade away and started to get holes in it, and it was starting to get thin. And there was a time that I thought this was the greatest T-shirt of all time. But now it's in a box of oil rags. It was just a temporary, fleeting thing. But there's something about our flesh that craves temporary things, does it not? Our flesh just sometimes just craves temporary things, even though we know those things will rot and decay or can be taken from us or they can lose their value. We still crave those things, so much so that we'll let some of those things become a source of contention or pride or sinful feelings between, you know, a congregation or brothers or sisters or whatever, even though we know they're not going to last. All things that we have, all earthly things, let me say that we have, they rot, they decay, and they lose their value. And I've told you before, usually once a year I'll go out to Kansas in the Midwest and spend a week there hunting, and we're way out in the middle of nowhere, and it's just these old limestone roads, and you just go for miles and miles and miles, and there's just nothing. But every now and then you'll come across a two-story house that is starting to rot and fall in. And I always think about those houses, that there was a day that that house was somebody's pride and joy. There was a day that the last nail was driven, and maybe some of their friends brought housewarming gifts to them. I'm talking 100 years ago, old houses. There was a day that that house was spectacular, and now it's nothing. It's a place that is inhabited by probably rats and snakes and a barn owl. It decayed away. Our clothes do the same thing. Does our health not do the same thing? The Bible says that man dieth and wasteth away. That's pretty strong language. You know, somebody goes up and says, "Hey man, how are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm wasting away." That's a very negative thought. But that's what the Bible says, that our bodies are wasting away. And if you read through Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, that how, I mean, very poetically, very beautifully, the decaying of the body as old age sets in is described. Unavoidable. Your health is going to decay, your house, your clothes. You know, there are documents. You think about the Constitution of the United States of America. There's a reason that is encased in this, you know, bulletproof, you know, case that you can't even break through. Because if you go up and you pick up that Constitution of the United States of America, like I picked up this Bible, it would probably crumble. The paper that it's written on would just kind of fall apart. When you go into a museum and you see all these clothes from hundreds of years ago, these wonderful, beautiful garments that were made 100 years ago, there's a reason you can't put them on, because as soon as you touch them, the thread is just, you know, rotten. It's just going to fall apart. You say, "Well, there's things that don't decay. What about diamonds? You know, diamonds are not going to decay. They're always going to be a diamond. They may not decay, but they'll absolutely lose their worth." There have been times in history, and probably even times now in somewhere in the world, that someone would take a 10-carat diamond and exchange it to you for a loaf of bread. Because in their situation, a loaf of bread is far more valuable than a diamond. God forbid we ever get to that place. Your money, your food, I mean, you, everything in your pantry right now, you know, in a month, a lot of it would be spoiled. The Bible says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break in and steal." It's interesting that there are three things there that he mentions that contribute to this decaying process. You know, you think about the moth, you know, that y'all, everybody's heard of mothballs. Why do you have mothballs? It's because if you go store garments somewhere in your house, there's these little moths that can get in there, and they can actually begin to eat the fabric. And so you put mothballs in there, and those mothballs release a certain type of vapor that either kills the larva or drives the moths away. Because a moth can eat away and destroy and corrupt your garments. It says rust. It's interesting, the definition of rust there is the act of eating. Yesterday I was helping Tiffany's dad do some work on his dock on the lake, and we were having to replace these metal brackets, that the part that was under the water over time, and this was probably a quarter inch thick metal, and over time
That process of that metal oxidizing, it just rusted away and broke in half. It just ate away the metal. It can also mean corrosion, but it really takes the definition there of food that spoils, like with when it gets mildew or mold or something like that on the food. So moth, rust, and if you come up in your mind right now of something that moth or rust cannot destroy, he covers all of it there at the end. Well, thieves can break in and steal it. The things that we crave in this life, and look, I'm not even fit to preach this sermon because we all crave them. I'll see something in a store and I'll just think that if I don't get that, my life cannot go on. You know, and Tiffany can probably tell you, I've got stuff that I just had to have, and I bet you I hadn't used it 2 times. But you just think, that's life-changing for me right there. We see all these things and we crave, and again, going back to the purple silk shirt, sometimes we crave those temporary things so much that it causes contention between us. What's wrong with us? The flesh is what's wrong with us. We will put hundreds of thousands of dollars into a house that will be a pile of rubble one day. We will swipe a credit card when we don't have the money to spend to have the latest shirt or jacket or dress or whatever. The Bible says that those treasures are not something that we're to lay up. They're not something we're to crave. It says we're to lay up treasures in heaven. Because there is a place where the moth and the rust and the thieves can't get to. And you think about it, so what does that mean? And let me tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that if I go do something good and nice for Brother Tim, that bing, I just got an extra acre in heaven. It's not what it means. Okay? It doesn't mean that I can increase my status or my belongings in heaven by what I do here, because that defies the very nature of heaven. Does it not? So what does it mean? Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. Now, as I thought about that, I said, what exactly does that mean? I thought about, well, what are the riches that are described in the kingdom of God? What are the things in the kingdom of God that are described as treasures and riches? And it's interesting, if you read through the Bible, you find many different times where things are described as riches of Christ or riches of heaven. Some of those things, I just jotted down, I put 4 of them down. Riches of heaven are just, one of them is goodness. That just means morality and kindness. My goodness, we need some kindness today. Sister Rhonda, Sister Karen, those that work with us, there are some people that come into our office that I believe I could drop kick them in the face and they would be so kind to us. And they are just breaths of fresh air. Just to have somebody that just pours out kindness. You know what that is? That's a treasure in heaven. Morality. Another one is forbearance. Forbearance just means toleration, tolerating. We are not a very tolerant society at all. We are a very entitled society. Long suffering. That means patience and to be slow to avenge. And in Ephesians, you find one of the riches of heaven is grace. If you can only pick one thing to walk through this life with, one heavenly attribute to walk through this life with, it ought to be grace. Because grace is saying, you don't deserve my forgiveness, you don't deserve my kindness, you don't deserve my forbearance, you don't deserve any of that, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. Grace is the banner that forbearance and long-suffering and goodness, that's the banner that all of those things fall under. Grace is the greatest treasure in heaven. And should we not pursue that just like we pursue all the things of this world? Amen. Now let me finish here going back to the shirt. I don't even know if Josh is here today. Bethany's here today. Don't tell him I said this. You can tell him about the shirt, though. Josh has always been one of the most merciful people I have ever met. I've watched Josh throughout his life, and his heart just bleeds mercy for people. In times when I would have long pulled out my sword and started doing some cutting, Josh has been merciful and long-suffering. I can remember one time, I say this to my shame now, Josh's room was here, little hallway, my room was here. And I was in his room, and we were both in his room, and I don't remember what happened, but I got so mad at him. And he was sitting on the floor. I can see it just plain as day. And I walked out and I slammed the door and I went in my room and I slammed the door. And I got in my room for about a minute and I got to really stewing about it. It's funny, I don't even remember what it was. And I opened my door and I marched right back into his room and I hit him as hard as I could right in the head. And it knocked him over a little bit. And he just sat back up and kept doing what he was doing. He didn't come at me like a wildcat. He just has a merciful heart. And he would rather have taken a beating from his little brother than to got up and given him a beating. Because he's merciful. My point in this whole sermon is this. I should have craved that attribute about him far more than I craved that purple silk shirt. Because that mercy that I have seen him exhibit time and time again, that is a treasure in heaven. Amen. That I should crave and desire and want to lay up for myself. Not the shirt. Because the shirt, probably by now, has probably been incinerated or has rotted. And it's just a pile of dust or ashes wherever it is. But the mercy is untouchable. Amen. You can't steal it. A moth can't touch it, and rust can't touch it. And that's what we ought to lay up for ourselves. I hope that that's been profitable to you. Please pray for Brother Tim as he comes.